Good morning. So I wish I didn't have to be here with you today because I wish Mike and Renee could be. They're the actual speakers and directors of It Is Written Canada, but they're so busy right now that I got the privilege of coming out to Nova Scotia. So I'm not complaining. It's a beautiful place. I'm very thankful to be here. So as he mentioned, my name is Bailey Mueller. But in 1 month, I'll be known as Bailey McLeod. I'm getting married in 1 month, so it's very exciting. I'm also working on the podcast for It Is Written Canada. And on the side, I do some personal training, and I'm part of different health programs all across Canada. So I'm so excited about being a part of It Is Written. I'm originally from Ontario, but I'm moving to BC to be with my future husband. And like I said, it's my first time in Nova Scotia, but it is absolutely stunning. I think if I lived in any other province other than British Columbia, it would be Nova Scotia. Enough about me, though. I want to know how much you know about It Is Written Canada. So right now we have two speakers. Do you know the name of the speakers of It Is Written Canada? Renee and Mike. Mike and Renee, do you know who the speaker was before them? Who? Sean Boonstra was before that. Chris Holland was before, yes. And who was the very first speaker of It Is Written Canada? You know a lot of the history of It Is Written Canada. Can you say it again? I always say it wrong, but Fire Robin. And so he started by doing 5-minute programs in Portuguese, and he started a program called Destiny. Then he made a deal with It Is Written in the States. They formed It Is Written Canada, and from there we've had different speakers, Sean Boonstra, Bill Santos, Chris Holland, and now Mike and Renee Lemon. Let me introduce you to the couple. This is Mike and Renee. I'll cut their story short. Mike was an orphaned child growing up. He moved to, he was introduced to Jesus by someone giving them their personal Bible. He moved to South Africa where he met Renee, and they got married, had two beautiful children. They were pastors in Alberta. They worked at Fountain View Academy for 12 years, and then they received the call to be speakers of It Is Written Canada. And it's so interesting because before Mike came into ministry, he prayed and he's like, Lord, I want to reach 1 million souls for your kingdom. And now he's the speaker of a national TV program that shares God's love with the world. So it's absolutely incredible. I met Mike and Renee when I was, I think just 10 years old. No, 12 years old at the time. I met Mike and Renee, and Mike's sermon literally changed my life. So I have a very special place in my heart for them, and I'm so thankful to be working with them. And it's because of this couple that I gave my life to Jesus. So you're probably wondering, okay, that's great. I know the history, whatever. So what do they actually do? It Is Written Canada is a nationwide television ministry, and it spotlights the life and power of trusting in God's word. They film videos that are featured on CTV, CKPG, Yes TV, Omni Television, Miracle Channel, and the fourth. I am in charge of their social media, so I post on all of their platforms every day. Quite the job. And they also produce weekly videos. They call them daily livings, where they have a 2-minute snippet of God's word. And they advertise that all across Facebook and YouTube. They write in the Messenger magazine every issue. They have an online and mail school. And coming soon, It Is Written is going to have a church plant in just north of Toronto. So we're really excited about how God is working. And with this church plant, it will be connected with a center of influence or an outpost center where people can come for treatments by a doctor, for good food, and then to hear the word. So we are so excited. But there's a newest development that the main or the thrust of this message is going to be about. So Mike and Ray drove all from Ontario to British Columbia and back just to tell churches about this program called One Week in Paradise. It's a lifestyle medicine immersion program that happens in Camp Frenda, actually, which is Ontario's version of Pugwash. And we had doctors, nutritionists, massage therapists, personal trainers, that's myself, I'm also a personal trainer, and counselors in this amazing program. And during this program, each patient had an individualized health assessment and then follow-up intervention. So before they came, they had their blood work taken. On site, we calculated blood pressure, BMI. They had initial consultations with nutritionists, massage therapists, myself, personal trainers, naturopaths, psychotherapists, and doctors. And after this first day, we all came together and we prayed over these patients. Throughout the program, they received many therapies, hydrotherapy, exercise class, they had massage, nutrition consultations, health talks, cooking classes, I could go on and on, marriage counseling, which is what Mike and Renee were directly involved in. And we planned some delicious meals. After each meal, I took everyone on a digestive walk because it's really good to walk after you eat. And this is just a very brief description. But now I want to show you a video of some of the testimonies from the program. So I had the privilege of being a part of this program myself, and it was amazing to see how excited people were about regaining their health and how this opened the door for them to be receptive of hearing of Jesus.
Yeah, you know, I think for me personally, I've had an awakening, I would say, like a stirring in my spirit to believe that those things are possible. Because the great thing about this week is that it's focused on all aspects of health, not just physical, but also emotional, mental, and spiritual. And sometimes we're our own roadblocks in our mindsets and in not believing, even though, you know, what the Bible says that, oh, maybe that's not for me, and maybe I won't get past these things, or I won't have that child. But I think that this week for me has really stirred that up again in that belief, and that just being overloaded with prayer and encouragement and teachings on our thoughts and in our journey. And so I'm leaving here encouraged more than ever of just that it's possible.
Well, coming here, I was kind of nervous because, for one, I was drinking 7 to 8 cups of coffee a day, and I was sort of weaning myself off of smoking also. So I thought I would come here with severe withdrawals. I've experienced none of that. I haven't smoked, and I don't intend on ever going back to smoking. And certainly, caffeine is out of the picture also. I've experienced no headaches, no withdrawals whatsoever. But I also think it's a higher power, too.
I've learned many things, and that I do need a reset for sure. And I've recognized being here just how stressed I really was.
That all of the tools that I'm learning here, yes, I'm responsible for applying them and continuing them. And I know that's a huge tool to leave with, but my mindset and my belief and my trust in God has been, you know, taken to a new level and, like I said, awakened and stirred in a way that I think is really going to help me moving forward.
If you're looking for healing, even physically and mentally, come. It is a place where you will be revived and you will not be the same when you leave.
I think what's touched me the most is the people here, their walks of life. A lot of people came here broken, and in many different aspects, and I see the difference after a week, and it's given me a lot of hope myself. I come from a very dysfunctional family, and I was very dysfunctional myself. However, I feel that I'm on the right track. This is what I needed, a wake-up call. Staff here has been incredible. The knowledge that so many of them, it's just unbelievable. It's been a paradise for sure, 1 week in paradise. I'm leaving today, and I'm kind of sad.
Paradise. If any come, welcoming everyone. I think I'm still cutting out a little bit. So this is Malia. She's an 11-year-old that happened to join the program as a staff member, actually. Her mom was in charge of hydrotherapy. And Malia was supposed to leave with her father and siblings. She was asked if she could stay and help. And she decided, okay, I mean, I have to leave my siblings, but I can do this. I can help. And she was personally in charge of creating juices for the patients. So for 2 days straight, all the patients had homemade fresh pressed juice. And Malia was in charge of doing that. And one night, a patient came to her complaining about this carrot juice. She's like, again, this is so gross. And Malia's like, the Lord knows what's best for you. And that just melted the lady's heart. She's like, okay, I think I can drink it. I think I can. The lady called her mom and just said, you know, your daughter, so encouraging. And she left the program. She wrote an article for her personal blog. And she said that it absolutely changed her life. Seeing how the patients open up, how they go from dragging their feet, or there was one lady who could barely put any weight on her leg. She had so much inflammation. But after being a part of this lifestyle program, the inflammation reduced to next to nothing, and she was able to walk on both legs again. And that's just one just incredible story. But I want to emphasize here, we need to get our young people involved in this kind of work as well, because it touches their lives, not only ours and not only the people we serve. One of the ladies who had cancer came to Pastor Mike at the end of the week, and she said, can you anoint me? And Pastor Mike asked why she wanted to be anointed. This is her. She said that she had treated everybody so poorly and complained so much about the program and even in her past life, but now she sees everyone as family. And she's Roman Catholic, but she was planning after leaving the program to attend a Seventh-day Adventist church. Another guest from Week in Paradise was a professional golfer, and he hated vegetables before the program, and afterward he's like, I think I can do the vegetarian thing. I think I can handle it. He confessed, it's been a privilege to meet a lot of amazing people, sports personalities in the golfing world and other individuals, but I can honestly say I have never met such a genuinely loving group of people as you. You truly love us, and my wife and I have decided to attend your church. And this is just health ministry. This is just meeting the people's needs. And I heard similar stories as well as I taught exercise classes, and I know you can have the same experience as well. So I want to ask a question. What was Jesus's one thing and why? There are so many things, tasks, opportunities that are vying for our attention every single day, yet we're just chronically distracted. So where do you even start? What was Jesus's one thing? Or what's one thing that I can do that by doing it, everything else will become easier or unnecessary? So there's this thing called the domino effect, and it's where if you do one thing, it just starts a cascade of other things, whether good or bad. So for myself, if I have a bad night's sleep, if I wake up late, then in the morning I don't have time for exercise. I'm going to grab a bowl of cereal because I don't have time to make a good, healthy meal, and my day just cascades into making hasty decisions that are convenient. But when I do exercise in the morning, I feel good, so I make a really good meal. And from there, I just feel empowered to make better decisions throughout my day, and so we go. So this is the domino effect. It's one thing that makes everything else easier or unnecessary. But I want to come back to my original question. What was Jesus's one thing, and where do we find this in the Bible? So Jesus said to her, Martha, Martha, you're worried and troubled about many things, but one thing is needed. And Mary has chosen that good part, which will not be taken away from her. Maybe if I stand back here. Jesus emphasized here many things versus one thing. When Jesus heard this, he said to him, one thing you still lack. Sell all that you have, distribute to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Come and follow me. This one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. One thing I ask from the Lord, this only do I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze on the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in his temple. What was Jesus' one thing? Luke 15. Here we have parables of a few things. The lost sheep, the lost coin, the lost son. What do these three stories have in common? Well, there's 100 sheep, 10 coins, 2 sons. Maybe not so much in common yet, but in each case, Jesus is always focuses on the one that is lost. That is Jesus's one thing. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law muttered and said, "This man welcomes sinners and eats with them." But the three parables answer their accusation. Jesus leaves the saved to hang out with the sinners. With the running father, Jesus emphasizes his one thing. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which is lost. From the cradle to the cross, Jesus' one thing is to save you and me. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus because he will save his children from their sins. So I don't know how much Greek you guys know, but sozo is a Greek word which is usually translated in the Bible to mean to save or something to do with salvation. But it means much more than simply being forgiven and someday going to heaven. It refers to total healing, total freedom, total wholeness, and wholeness being emotional, spiritual, mental, social, and physical. Sozo. So Jesus asks, do you want to be made whole? Receive thy sight, thy faith hath saved thee. Jesus said to the woman, your faith has saved you, go in peace. Complete healing, which includes the physical, mental, emotional, social, spiritual, will never happen unless we put our complete faith in Jesus. Nothing else and no one else can save us. So I'm going to jump back to health for a second. What causes disease? Sometimes it's hereditary, but more often, fear causes disease. Depression causes disease. Anger causes disease. Bitterness, guilt, lack of trust. Humanity on its own is not capable of dealing with these issues. And our body literally degenerates. Often it's not what you're eating, but what's eating you that's making you sick. And Jesus has come to sozo, to totally save us from these things. Dysfunctional is not lack of function. Dys in Latin is actually pain. So it's functioning in pain, dysfunctional. Like when you go through the day wearing really tight shoes or for the ladies' heels, and then you take them off at the end of the day and you can finally breathe. Sickness of the mind prevails everywhere. And this is baffles me every time I read it. 9/10 of the diseases from which men suffer have their foundation here. So when you're sick, check here first. And you know, there have been many studies done of people who are told that they have cancer and they die of cancer, but it was a false or a mistake in telling them that they had cancer. And they believed it so much that cancer literally started forming, their cells started going crazy. Sickness of the mind prevails everywhere. Why was saving the lost Jesus' one thing? Maybe you haven't thought about it. Why did Jesus care so much? Joy. You may have heard this verse, "These things I have spoken to you that my joy may remain in you and that your joy may be full." Ellen White says, our Savior's joy was in the uplifting and redemption of the fallen man. For this he counted not his life dear unto him, but endured the cross, despising the shame. Steps to Christ, page 77. God might have committed the message of the gospel and all of the loving ministry to the heavenly angels, but in his infinite love, he chose to make us co-workers with himself, with Christ and the angels, that we might share in this blessing, the joy, the spiritual uplifting, which results from this unselfish ministry. And I know we come to camp meeting, and it's kind of like we're being fed. It's wonderful. We're hearing all these messages. We're getting encouraged, inspired. We're seeing the people we haven't seen in maybe 3 years. But where are we going to find our true joy, our lasting joy? Jesus gives us the answer, and it's in the uplifting of fallen humanity. I think that was... Okay, so 1 week in paradise, coming back to our program. There, let me tell you the story of Jill. I'm using a different name just to keep her identity anonymous. So I led in the digestive walks, and other staff would join me every time, and this was after every single meal, so it gave us a really good opportunity to connect with everybody. And Mike and Renee came, and they would linger and kind of pick up the stragglers. And one lady, Jill, was feeling down, and she told Mike that she was feeling ashamed. So this is kind of how the conversation went. Oh, she was feeling ashamed because she couldn't quit smoking. And she had been a part of this program, and she would sneak away and keep smoking. She was, you know, very good friends with her cigarettes. So this is how the conversation went. Mike, so how much do you smoke a day? 3 to 4 cigarettes. Have you ever quit smoking before? And she lit up, beaming. She told about how she had quit once for 3 months. And she was just glowing. And Mike asked, so how did you feel when you quit smoking? Well, those were the best days of my life. Do you want to feel like that again? Yes. Okay, so let's pray about that. No, I can't pray about that. Well, why? Well, I believe in God, but I've never in my life prayed. And the way I see it, prayer is like talking to a person. So I wouldn't just talk to someone for the first time and ask him to do something for me, because I've never talked to him before. Well, okay, that's a good reason, but I want you to know that God has known you all your life. It doesn't matter if you've talked to him or not. But you believe in him. So all you have to do is ask him to please take away this addiction. I think you could do that, couldn't you? Okay, so maybe you should help me. Okay, well, when would be a good time, and when are you going to be ready to give this up? And she grabbed him, and I saw this. She grabbed him like he was a life preserver in the ocean. She just grabbed him and held on and said, pray for me right now. It was so sweet. And after Mike prayed, she said, should I tell anyone? And he told her, tell everyone. Why? When you're excited about something, don't keep it locked inside. Let it boil out and share that good news right away, because it's not only going to strengthen you and your resolve, but it'll strengthen other people, because I know there are other people here struggling with similar addictions. And now, it's been 10 months and Jill is still not smoking a single cigarette. Do you think Jill experienced joy? Well, in the prison system, if someone was on death row, they had this term for that person. And they called him dead man walking, because they knew, and he knew, that he was going to die. So he was just a dead man walking. The health message is about saving souls for eternity, not just making people feel better for a few more years. What's a few more years, or even 100 years compared to eternity? Say the life expectancy is 70 years, and by the health message, you live to be 100 years. What have we given you if you miss out on eternity? What's eternity minus 100 years? It's nothing. We're not doing any favor if we're just helping people but not helping them eternally. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. We're all dead men and women walking because we know and everyone else knows that we're going to die. And if that hasn't hit you yet, I'm sorry to break it to you, but you will die, likely, unless Jesus comes very soon, hopefully. We're praying for his speedy return. But Jesus changes that picture. Remember sozo? Whole, complete, total transformation of every aspect of the physical being. This is beautiful. Our 1 week in paradise was an 8-day program. We had an average weight loss per person of 6.2 pounds. The average waist circumference of males and females was about 5 to 6 centimeters. Blood pressure dropped by that many points. Diastolic blood pressure dropped, and 14 prescription medications were discontinued. And this is just the health message. This is something we as Adventists have known for so, so long. Many began whole foods, and others gave up smoking, drinking, and other unhealthful addictions. Here are some testimonies. I came here broken, not thinking I could be healed or loved. So I want to throw away my shame, because it is truly by God's grace that I am here today, and the treasure I want to take home with me is the new me. What I'm taking home is the fact I've known for a long time I've needed God in my life. Another lady, Karen, drifted from the church and decided to come back to God. Susan, with extreme obesity, finally realized that she was truly loved and valued by God in spite of her current physical condition. Darlene was a patient with cancer. She had to take morphine for her pain, and that would only minimize it. She was in so much pain. So when we did an anointing for the lady I mentioned earlier, Darlene also came up to be anointed. By the end of the program, she went from 10 out of 10 pain on morphine to no morphine the entire week, to being able to do exercises, to at the end being a 5 out of 10 pain without morphine. The health message is so powerful. During his ministry, Jesus devoted more time to healing the sick than to preaching. His miracles testified to the truth of his words, that he came not to destroy, but to save. And the next quote might shake your world a little bit, okay? I wish to tell you that soon there will be no work done in ministerial lines but medical missionary work. No work done in ministerial lines but medical missionary work. Have we reached that time yet? No, because we're still doing ministerial work right now. Amen? I mean, that's a good thing. That's a great thing. But it is coming soon. So now perhaps you see and understand the importance of this line of work. And maybe you're realizing, okay, but I'm not a doctor, I'm not a nurse, I'm not a medical professional, I have no credentials, so am I asking you to go back to university? Well, not exactly. We met this nurse who worked as a medical missionary in Mongolia, and Mike told him, that he was thinking of going back to school so that he could be really involved in this medical mission work. He's like, well, I'm just a pastor, but I need to be a doctor or a nurse or something. And the lady stopped, or I always say lady, the man stopped and said, that's a bad idea. And Mike was taken back a little bit, and he said, I don't have to be a nurse to work here in Mongolia. He said, if I could simply convince people to drink the amount of water recommended for them, people would be 100% better. That's incredible. We have tools at our hands that are so simple that the world doesn't understand. All you need to do is learn the principles of New Start and practice them for yourself. When people see how healthy you are, they will want what you have. So we're going to go through it. Can we remember the acronym New Start? What does N stand for? Nutrition. E. Exercise. W. Water. S. Sunshine. T. Temperance. A. Air. We have a scholar. R. Rest. And T. Trust in God. These are 8 tools that you can, that are free for you to know and to share with other people. New Start. The main goal of New Start is actually for this reason, to promote perfect circulation. A poor diet affects your circulation. Exercise improves circulation. Water gets the blood thinner and able to move more freely, and I could go on and on. But every aspect of New Start, every principle, is in effect helping create perfect circulation. Okay, cool. So you know now that this work was important to Jesus because it was his number one work. You know that it's an essential work because we are approaching Jesus' soon coming. And you know you don't need to be highly educated. So now what? Pray. God will inspire you with the wisdom you need. You don't need to have all of the education, because the education of angels will be your greatest aid. When I was debating of going to school or going into ministry, I got a very nice offer of free tuition to go back to school. And I was struggling so much, and I was praying. I'm like, God, but I feel like you want me involved in ministry right now. And this is my story. God may ask other people to go to school. And I was praying, and I came across this quote in the book Education of how we don't need necessarily to go to school, because God's angels will train us up and to give us the tools necessary. Read inspiration and learn about what has and hasn't worked in the past. Read of the story of Kellogg, for those who don't know, an amazing story of a health big sanitarium that went up and was burned to the ground for essentially not listening to God's health laws. But it started off very sincere and very good and changed many, many lives. Step number 2, start in your area of influence. Share with your coworkers. Share with your neighbors. People you've already built connections with are more likely to hear you out. You know, there's a quote in the Ministry of Healing, and I may get it slightly wrong, but Christ's method alone will bring true success in reaching the people. The Savior mingled with men as one who desired their good. He was just talking with them. Then he ministered to their needs. He showed his sympathy for them. And then, he won their confidence. So by all of these things, by making the connections, by helping, by seeing where the need is, he won their confidence, and then he bade them follow me. There's a lot of foreground work that needs to take place first. Get to know more people. If your area of influence is this big, make it this big. There's no limitations to how many people you can reach all around you. And step 3, teamwork makes dream work. This is our initial team with 1 week in paradise. We actually had a smaller program before this one that only had 4 patients, and we had only 5 staff. Our next program grew to 20 patients, and we grew to this size in staff. We're severely overworked, so we decided to make our team even bigger. And our third program, we had, I want to say, closer to 20 to 30 staff members and 25 patients. But you can't do it alone. I can leave it there. You can. God's Spirit will help you build the friendships, but something to this scale, you can't do alone. You will burn out. So connect with people here. I know for a fact that there are people in this camp that understand the importance of this. You're not alone if you're feeling the importance of health ministry. We need to press together. Ellen White said, or the General Conference Daily Bulletin said, in our separation from one another, we are separated from Christ. Are we not seeing that in our church right now? We're polarized. Doesn't matter what the topic is about. It seems that there's a division in almost every church, but we want to press together. Oh, how many times when I have seemed to be in the presence of God and the holy angels, I have heard the angel voice saying, press together, press together, press together. In unity, there is strength. I repeat the message to you. Be determined that you will press together. Seek God with all your heart, and you will find him. And the love of Christ, which passes all understanding, will come into your hearts and lives. And I will add on for myself, it will bubble out of you. It will overflow into the cups of your area of influence to all those around you. We literally are stronger together, and God has given us that illustration through nature. I don't know how many of you understand the physics behind why geese fly in a V formation. Some of you have heard this. The lead goose is in the front, and he flaps down. As he flaps down, he creates an updraft. The bird behind him then has a little bit of boost, and he flaps down, and it makes an updraft. And so the lead goose has the hardest work, but he's creating an easier wave for every other goose behind him. When he gets tired, he will go to the back of the line. Another one will step forward, and the geese in the back are constantly honking. You've probably heard as they fly overhead, honk, honk, honk. The ones in the back are encouraging the ones in the front to keep going. And if one goose falls sick, two geese will accompany him to the ground. Why are geese more united than our church? It baffles me. A beehive, for instance, is at a good amount of strength if it has over 15,000 bees in the hive. Lower than that, and they may not make enough honey for the winter. Lifestyle medicine works synergistically, cooperates the same way. Two are better than one. You may have also heard that one horse can pull, I'm going to pull a number to the sky because I can't quite remember, but about 2,500 pounds to 3,000. Two horses together can pull approximately 12,000 pounds. Even together, you can accomplish so much more. One man of you shall chase 1,000. For the Lord your God is he who fights for you and he who promised you. And listen to this next verse. How can one chase 1,000 and two men put 10,000 to flight? The Bible also emphasizes the importance of two being stronger than one in multiple cases. Step four, keep challenging yourself to learn and to do new things. You can learn more by reading. You can enroll in online training programs. I believe actually Weimar, for those who have heard of Weimar Institute or now University, has an online health program as well as their in-person one. You can learn through them. There are Canadian sources like iHeal and so forth where you can learn simple things that you can share with your community. I know with I'm part of the church plant that is growing up in Ontario, and the lifestyle center of influence that we're developing. And we're doing something called dinner with the doctor. You can do dinner with the fill in the blank here. And someone just shares a simple health message, talk about drinking more water, for say, and they get a free meal. You give anyone something free and they will show up, I promise. Especially if it's food. I mean, guilty as charged. If there's free food, you will find me there. The germination of the seed represents the beginning of spiritual life. And the development of the plant is a figure of the development of character. There can be no life without growth. The plant must either grow or die. As its growth is silent and imperceptible but continuous, so is the growth of character. At every stage of development, our life may be perfect. Yet if God's purpose for us is fulfilled, there will be constant advancement. No plateauing here. The key is to look for the need and meet that need. With It Is Written Canada, it's baby steps. We're excited about being involved in and propelling this line of work, but we can't do it on our own either. Israel in Canada is only a team of 5 people. For a televised program and putting out all of this information, it's a lot of work. So we need to see this propelled by the church members. You don't need to wait for your pastor to recommend it to you. Go to your pastor. Tell him of your idea. Start small. Do a cooking class once every month to start. Like, don't start big. Start small. Baby steps are still going to move you forward. And if any of you need any other information, want to know any more about One Week in Paradise, whether you want to come and attend to learn more about it, to bring it to your area, or just want information in general, you can... I'm leaving today, unfortunately. My flight got canceled for tomorrow, so if you can find me, I'll hang around for a little bit. I'll answer any questions. But the table in the cafeteria has cards. So grab one, and you can email us anytime with any questions. You can give us a call. We are more than happy to help. And if possible, if someone gets a fire under their bosom to start something like this in Nova Scotia, I am sure, God willing, that if we could, we would come out to help facilitate at least one of us to help you and encourage you in making this happen. It doesn't have to be to, like I said, the extent of 1 week in paradise. Anything. Anything is glorifying God if it's done with your heart and if it's done to save souls and bring joy to his kingdom. So thank you so much, and let me end with a word of prayer. Lord Jesus, you see that in our hearts we want to be willing. Some of us are willing currently. Some of us need to be. Our prayer is to be willing to be made willing, because there's a hesitancy. We're so busy. There's so much going on in the world. There's so much uncertainty. But Lord, your work needs to propel forward. And in this moment where the storm is calmed, let us press together, press together, press together. May we as a church become unified so that your work can be moved forward without any hindrances, without any hurdles, and without any misrepresentation on our part, because we haven't fully surrendered to you. So we lay our lives down to you. We thank you for the simple tools you've given us of nature and of natural health and remedies to help spread the gospel to the world. We love you so much, Lord. In your name we pray. Amen.